And this is his horror story, a successful stormtrooper academy that focuses on aiming, as well as all the best stormtroopers being stationed on the Death Star in Episode 4, with every soldier hitting their Mark Hamill. Ha ha, ha ha. Hamill was in parentheses.
Hi, my name's Kevin Scott, the writer of Dooku Jedi Lost and Return to Vader's Castle, and you're listening to Star Wars Highs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of Star Wars Ties. I am your host, Jameson Stout, and with me is none other than the faithful, the Mandalorian himself, no, not Pedro Pascal, but Mr. Lando Fett. How you doing, Landon?
Oh, I'm doing great. I was going to say I'm not worthy of the title of the Mandalorian.
Oh, I know. And we're going to get some time to talk about the Mandalorian, at least the first chapter, later in this episode, because... you know, lazy Jameson hasn't had the chance to see Chapter 2 yet, and Landon's over here making me wish I wasn't recording tonight and was just going to watch it instead. Gosh, Landon.
I know.
Anyway, we will be talking about that a little bit, and today we're going to be actually jumping a little bit further into our Star Horrors theme.
Ooh.
So we will be jumping through the Star Horrors theme with our listener feedback episodes. What we're going to do first is we're actually going to discuss some of the horror stories that some of our listeners contributed. One of them, of course, was the email that we got from Christopher Carlson several weeks ago. So Christopher, I promise we will be reading the second part of your email today. And in addition to that, we had a couple of people comment on Facebook some ideas that they would like to see or have seen in the Star Wars universe that are horror-based. So we will be responding to that a little bit today. And then after that, we're going to do mostly just talk about the stuff Star Wars that's been going on lately, which is The Mandalorian, and, you know, this, we're a month away from The Rise of Skywalker with a new trailer that came out. So, I mean, we've got a lot we can cover. So, ladies and gentlemen, strap in to your Razor Crest back seats, and let's go for the ride.
The back tube.
The back tube. I gotta use the back tube. That was a disgusting part, but that was hilarious.
Yes, it was.
I've been molting lately, so this is pretty messy. You don't want to come down here, you know. Kind of reminded me of something you'd see in, like, Guardians of the Galaxy. That was a...
yeah.
That was a very, you know, a little bit too much information kind of moment. But, you know, whatever. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, so we were talking about how we are going to be going into our listeners' feedback section. So the first thing we probably need to do is go into our incoming transmissions.
Admiral, receiving transmission from Scarif.
Transmission received.
Admiral, we have the plans.
So the first thing we're going to do is go through the emails that I have from Christopher Carlson. Christopher, thank you so much. You have sent us three emails, including the one that sparked this whole theme and everything like that with the horror and having listener feedback kind of tell us the stories and stuff like that. So we're going to begin with that one, and I'm just going to read through it, and then, you know, Landon will kind of give our opinions on what he has. Mm-hmm. How's that sound?
I like that.
All right. So Christopher Carlson tells us, "Me personally, I have an idea about a rookie Imperial officer going to some failing farming planet to collect supplies that they owe to the Galactic Empire, but is surprised to find out that not only have the blue made-up fruit wheat harvest well exceeded expectations, even though there have been reports of massive drought. But it's also all red and evil-looking, and the insert alien species here townsfolk is acting a little bit weird. So our protagonist starts investigating, and after some good creepy build-up and clue-finding, he finds an old pre-Knights of the Old Republic era Sith ruin in a cave where a Sith forced ghost is helping townsfolk perform a dark ritual that transfers life force from a, quote, person, as they are not human, sacrifice into the fruit wheat fields. And I'll leave how dark to go with this to your imagination. Of course, that's the moment when our, quote, hero knocks over some rocks or something and the chase is on. But unlike most victims in stories like these, our protagonist has some healthy, heavily armed fascists to hide behind, so the townsfolk just play it off as they thought he was a local vermin they have trouble with. Seeing as our, quote, hero is unsure if he can trust the local stormtroopers, as they could be in on the whole thing, he goes along with this, leaving said troopers to wonder what that was about in some much-needed comic relief. So our, quote, hero makes it back to his superiors and tells them all about what he has found, leading to the dark twist of the story. Because the Empire is totally okay with, quote, dirty aliens sacrificing one another and are looking forward to many bountiful harvests in the future. And in, quote, normal scary stories, something bad would now happen to the protagonist. But this is Star Wars, so he just thinks nuts to this and defects to the rebellion instead.
I like that!
So what do you think, and can you see why it took some time? Commenting on the fact that, you know, this email took him a little while from the last one he'd sent us. I like it, too. Yeah, it definitely gives a good collection of kind of crossing the eras with the Galactic Empire and the pre-KOTOR Sith stuff. I liked that. I also liked the fact that he brought in a Sith Force ghost.
Yes, because you don't see a whole lot of those in the new canon, but they were, you know, especially in the KOTOR era, like Exar Kun, and I'm trying to think of some more like high-level Sith back in the day. Really, Exar Kun is the only one I can think of. And, you know, and Revan.
Yeah, I was about to say, did Darth Revan have a ghost?
I think he did. I know he had a holocron that Bane found because Bane used all of the Revan holocrons that he found to kind of redo the rules of the Sith.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I remember the Bane trilogy, but I really only read the first one, so it's... And even that's been a long time. That needs to be something we read. And
that does.
Soon, because that's definitely a great trilogy from what I've heard, and I know what I've read has been really good. All right, what do you think about the element of having the Imperial officer kind of being the protagonist of the story?
I like that. It's kind of in line with the Thrawn stories where you know he's a bad guy, but you're rooting for him anyway.
Right, yes. Oh, man. Thrawn stories, that's coming up later, too, I promise. I've got some stuff to talk about with that. I love that, you know, it was, you know, he was investigating and kind of discovered that they were a little weird, and it kind of sets the stage for almost like kind of like an early zombie movie a little bit, or
like the
kind
the
of
fact
like an
that,
M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, that I was going to say, that kind of puts me in the mind of one of his movies, especially the fact where he doesn't know if he can trust the local stormtroopers or the local, you know, Imperial garrison there.
Right, yeah. I mean, it kind of, the whole who's really going to win here and the twist at the end, you know, that's definitely something M. Night Shyamalan is famous for, is throwing a twist at the end that just makes you go, now what? Scratch your head, think twice. And since normal scary stories usually have something bad happen to the protagonist, but nope, this is Star Wars, so he just defects to the rebellion. That's awesome.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that. So thank you, Christopher Carlson.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic story and a great way to start us off. So, Landon, while I'm looking for another email, did you have a particular plot or story that you would have liked to incorporate into the Star Wars universe?
I would like to see something with a... And I know this is kind of weird for scary stories, but somebody that was a werewookie.
Oh, now that's cool.
Like, it's a normal guy, like, say, an Imperial officer, and he gets bitten by this, like, savage Wookiee that the other Wookiees are... kind of, you know, even scared of, and he turns into the werewookie, and he's trying to stay away from the Imperials because they'll, you know, they enslave the Wookiees, they'll enslave him, but at the same time he's trying to figure out how to revert back to a normal guy. I think that would be kind of an interesting Star Wars story.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, and it kind of goes back to the, once again, you're a big fan of the Hammer movies, so that kind of goes back to the original werewolf kind of plot. Yeah, I like that. Christopher Carlson sent us another email back at the beginning of October, and of course we're late recording this, and he says, "Hi, it's me again, and I just wanted to pop in and say that waiting to read my story until you get more is totally fine and a great idea for an episode. Thank you, Christopher Carlson. Appreciate your approval there. But before I go, I wanted to add an addendum to Summer of Stormtroopers by shouting out the Jedi Outcast Switchport Stormtroopers who say things like, 'Halt or I'll shoot,' 'Let's see some ID,' and 'Grab 'em,' while in the midst of an explosive blaster fight. It's hilarious. They also have fun conversations that have been logged here," and he gives us a link, which, listeners, I'll try to share in the show notes for you. Also, no wonder they can't hit anything. The E-11 sucks. And why not? It's the second gun you get in the game. And the switchboard is okay so far, but I'm on the second level. The load time from having to manually save and load is pretty grating, and not having the fun gun, saber, and power from later in the game while playing on. Night difficulty is also kind of sucking the fact out of that. I have a feeling that when I get over the hump and get the stick and motion sensitivity just right, it's going to get better. Still, no way it will ever beat the modded version of the PC original. You can chop dudes into bits in that one. No contest. Happy early Halloween." So thank you again, Christopher Carlson, and that's a great review for a game, too, so we appreciate that. Jedi Outcast for the Switchport. That's pretty cool. While I was trying to figure out what I was going to do for a Halloween kind of horror story, I was trying to think of the horror stories that I'm a fan of, you know, that I really kind of crave. And the first one that popped in my mind was, I think it would be a really interesting story, and you could definitely make a good horror story out of it, to do kind of a Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh, yeah.
But have it be, and actually, in all fairness, I think they've kind of done this, and I just don't think they would have called it this, but have it be a Jedi who is turning to the dark side, but he's not quite, you know, you get there. The two sides of him. And I mean, we see it with Vader, we see it with Anakin Skywalker, really. If you think about his prequel lifeline, you know, once you get to episode 2 and episode 3, you kind of do get a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde element out of it. You have good Anakin, who's remorseful and upset about the things that bad Anakin does, and then you have bad Anakin who kills women and children too and hates sand. So you kind of see that. But I'm thinking more along the lines of like a serious master or something that has experimented with the Force and tried to discover certain elements of it and has dabbled so deeply in the dark side that he doesn't even realize that he's dabbled in the dark side.
That would be good.
And it like changes him physically when he taps into this particular part of the Force and he does, you know, completely heinous and evil crimes, and the Jedi Council is trying to investigate this, but they're also trying to keep it under wraps because they think it's a Jedi, and just the whole kind of intrigue and suspense and plot of it kind of building until they discover that, you know, it's one of their own right there in the Council that has, you know, secretly done something they weren't supposed to be doing, and now it's, you know, a truly horrendous scandal that puts, you know, just another poke of doubt in the Jedi Council that, you know, Palpatine eventually plays upon when we get to Order 66.
I like it.
That was one plot line that I was thinking of, and I was like, you know, that would be kind of a neat horror story, and it fits the Robert Louis Stevenson mold pretty well.
Yeah, and you know, Jekyll and Hyde's kind of a scary story that's not really done very much these days anymore, it seems like.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I think it's kind of fallen to the wayside, which is unfortunate because I think Bugs Bunny made comic of it with the, you know, bunny in hair or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've made versions of it since that are, but they've not made really a modern movie. The Broadway musical back in the 90s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really, I mean, the last time I can remember it being adapted into a modern sense. Unfortunate, because I really think it could be turned into a pretty dark horror story if you wanted it to be, especially with how, you know, Netflix series and things like that are going nowadays.
It definitely lends itself to some really dark, you know, it could go to some really dark places, that story could.
Yes, it could. Well, I've got one more email from Christopher Carlson, and that should catch us up with his feedback via email, which, again, cool. Christopher, thank you so much for your emails, man. I'm really appreciating this. So, Christopher Carlson writes, yet again, "Funny you should ask about Star Wars things that remind you of other things," which was something we talked about in a previous episode. because while reading Fabius Bile, I think I read that right, Primogenitor, how the title character reminded me of Grand Admiral Thrawn. Not so much when it comes to personality and such, but how they are both incredibly intelligent individuals and some super silly sci-fi. I could go deeper, but this is not the Fluff and Hammer podcast. But speaking of 40K, the backstory of Sergeant Creel reminds me of your average Adeptus Astartes recruitment, except without the religious element and over-the-top genetic modifications like the Amphagia that gives the Space Marines the ability to gain intelligence by eating their enemy brains. Their enemy's brains. There we go. Told you it was silly, but in the British 2000 AD sort of way. And when I have people talk about George Lucas, the Willis idea, like the Guardian of the Willis being the Force kind of thing, all I can think about is the Smurfs with Palpatine as Gargamel. Enjoy that mental image. Happy Halloween again. Well, thank you, Christopher Carlson. That is definitely a mental image that now I will never be able to get rid of. Does that make the cat Darth Vader?
That would make the cat Darth Vader. That needs to be a t-shirt.
That does. That totally could be a good, that would be fantastic. So thank you, Christopher Carlson, for all of the emails that you have sent us. You gave us so much feedback. We really appreciate it. Listeners, I really want you to reach out to us. One of the best ways that is done is Facebook, but a lot of the times Facebook posts don't get brought up on the podcast simply because there are so many of them. So one of the best ways to make sure that we will talk about what you have sent us is to shoot it to us in an email like Christopher Carlson has been doing, and that is at StarWarsTiesPodcast@gmail.com. Another way you can get hold of us that would be a really good way is to call us. And we have not had a phone call in a long time, and I'm feeling really sad about that. I really am.
I know. We like to talk to people.
We like to talk to people. We love to have the audio of their voices so we can actually incorporate that. That is, after all, the medium of podcast. It's an audio format. As much as I'm sure you guys love hearing Landon's and my voice all the time, it'd be really cool to incorporate yours as well. And I would love to be able to give away this book that I have, the Tales from Mos Eisley Cantina, edited by Kevin J. Anderson. I've been trying to give it away for months now, and we just haven't had a call to give it away for. So I'm happy to do so. In addition to that, I've got some other books that I'm really anxious to be willing to give away. So I've got future giveaways already ready to go, but I'd like to start with this one. So if you want to give us a call and leave us a voicemail, please do so. Our number is 828-331-1873. And once again, you can always reach out to us via Facebook, which is where I'm heading now to provide us a little bit more feedback. Or you can reach out to us and leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever we happen to be for your listening pleasure. Caleb Parham responded to a horror story comment that we made, and this is his horror story. A successful Stormtrooper Academy that focuses on aiming, as well as all the best Stormtroopers being stationed on the Death Star in Episode 4, with every soldier hitting their Mark Hamill. Ha ha, ha ha. Hamill was in parentheses. So every soldier hitting their mark, parentheses, Hamill. Haha, I get it. Good job, Caleb. We would not have witnessed a successful run at the destruction of the Death Star. Rather, we would witness the complete annihilation of the Rebel Alliance, resulting in further repression from the Empire. Unfortunately, all of the Skywalker lineage would either die off or be further removed from the story, as the evidence of the Jedi Order would be erased from all known history. Because winners write historical texts. Very true. This is the true horror. If only the troopers had better aim and strategic planning, the Empire would have won. That's a very valid point. And you're right. That would have definitely made for quite a different story for the Galactic Empire, would not?
Yes.
All right. Let's see. We have a couple more. Anthony Pig sent a message, and I even commented back. I honestly have never read these books. They sound great. And I've looked them up, and I'm looking at getting them. They're kind of aimed at the middle school group. Did you know there was a Star Wars, essentially, it's not exactly this, but basically Star Wars Goosebumps?
No, I didn't.
It's called Star Wars Galaxy of Fear, and it's about two characters. It's actually, it has some similarities to the Tales from Vader's Castle and the IDW Star Wars Adventures lines. It's about two orphaned kids in the Star Wars galaxy that go from planet to planet. And each of the planets are kind of your traditional kind of goosebumpsy horror you know, here's monsters, here's a graveyard, here's, you know, fill in the blank kind of thing. But each story, you know, kind of fills a larger thread of a larger plot. There's a bigger story arc, but each of the individual stories is its own kind of monster of the week element. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool. I did not know this existed. But Anthony Pigg tells us that, you know, they have the favorite horror stories have been adapted into the Star Wars universe and the Galaxy of Fear books. So thank you, Anthony Pigg. And listeners, if you're into the middle school age kind of books, like Goosebumps, or late elementary perhaps, Goosebumps were kind of third through about eighth grade, I guess.
Yeah.
Big span there, but nonetheless, they appeal to all that ages. Then check out the Star Wars Galaxy of Fear books. They came out probably in the 90s, early 2000s. Pamela Nunley sends us a message that says, Gremlins, starring all of the Ewoks as asexually reproducing chaos agents of the Empire. Watch as the Ewoks feast on the flesh of the galaxy.
Oh my gosh, I would actually like that. I love Gremlins.
It reminds me of, Gremlins itself, of course. And then the Matthew Broderick Godzilla movie.
Yes.
Where they find out that Godzilla was an asexual being and get to reproduce him or herself.
Mm-hmm.
And left it open for the possibility that they laid eggs or whatever. Yeah, in the Madison Square Garden, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was wild.
Yeah, that's ripping. But yeah, I can see that. So thank you, Pamela. That is, as I commented, that was awesome. And that's definitely a story that would strike fear. with flesh-eating Ewoks traveling the galaxy at the whim of the Empire. That's pretty awesome. I had one other horror story that I was thinking about, and that was, wouldn't it be cool if they could adapt The Legend of Sleepy Hollow?
Oh, yeah.
Into the Star Wars universe. I don't know
that
how.
That would be cool.
I'm trying to figure out how you would do it. I mean, what character, what type of character would be the teacher, and what type of character would be the Headless Horseman, and obviously you can't have pumpkins necessarily. So what are the methods that you're going to do for the headlessness and that kind of thing? But it would be neat to see that kind of a story adapted as well. So if you're a writer, feel free to write a version of some of these horror stories and send them our way, and we'll read them as, you know, dramatic readings.
Ooh.
On the Star Horrors Volume 2 next year.
Electric Boogaloo. No, I'm just kidding. Star Wars Horror 2, Electric Boogaloo.
So, anyway, that was a lot of great listener feedback related to the horror stories. So, thank you so much, listeners. We really appreciate it. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
But with the time that we have left, Landon, I think it would be better spent perhaps just kind of X-winging it a little bit and kind of going through what's going on. So before we go too far, I do want to say this. I finished Thrawn Treason last night.
Oh.
And you need to get it and read it.
Like, I'm going to have to wait. That might be a Christmas present this year.
Dude, I will meet you and let you borrow my copy. Have you finished Alliances yet?
No, I'm about halfway through now.
Oh, man. I was kind of reading it a little bit at a time. And I started about Wednesday or Thursday of this past week. I was like, you know what? I'm going to finish this book. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to read it because I want to. You know, I want to know how it ends, because it ends right before Thrawn reappears in the end of season 4 in Rebels. And I was reading through it, and I got to a certain point literally about 2 days ago where every time I had to put the book down, I was like, no! No, I can't. I've got to keep reading. This is too good. There's too much going on. And I'm telling you what, Timothy Zahn is in his element when he does Thrawn. I mean, there is not a better character I can think of. And it was fantastic. I can't wait for the Ascendancy trilogy to come out. Like, more Thrawn, bring it. And he left the door wide open for Rebels to leave that question mark of whether or not Thrawn survives, and I am fully expecting a sequel era Thrawn book in the new canon.
Very nice.
I'm expecting it. I mean, we already know that it was kind of a question mark with Thrawn in Star Wars Rebels, and this book ends before Star Wars Rebels. So spoilers if you haven't seen season 4 of Star Wars Rebels, I'm sorry, but it's been a couple years since that came out. But I'm telling you, this book, all it did was make that question mark more of a question mark, exclamation point. I want to know right now, give me a sequel book. I demand it. I demand restitution. I want to know what happens next. So,
Thrawn is just one of those characters, like, even when he's not there, like in the story that you're, you know, reading or watching on TV now or in the movies, you're still wondering where he's at in all this and what part he has to play.
Yes, exactly. Like, now we're about to transition over to The Mandalorian. I want to see him appear in The Mandalorian.
Oh, I do too.
I think that would be fantastic. I don't think that's the direction it's going to go, and that's completely fine. But I want to see him live action on screen.
Yes.
Oh. All right. We've beat around the bush long enough. The Mandalorian. What'd you think?
Oh, gosh. I absolutely loved it. And it's apropos we're talking about it today, because do you know that today is, I saw on the Boba Fett fan club group that I'm a member of, today is Boba Fett's birthday. This is when the holiday special came out. It was November 17th of 78.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. No, I did not know that. Yay! Happy birthday, yeah. Boba Fett.
Yep, yeah, they had all these posts that said, Happy Birthday, Boba Fett, and they have, like, the original animation, which that's still a pretty cool version of Boba Fett, I think, the animated version.
I agree. I think it's one of the better ones. I agree.
But The Mandalorian, oh my gosh, this is what a... I was worried about them transitioning from movies and novels and stories to TV, to like a weekly TV serial.
Mm-hmm.
But this show has done it right. Like, it... I don't know, it pulls you in, and you ask questions while you're watching it, but at the same time, like, you're... I don't know how to explain it. It's a TV show for Star Wars fans done correctly, is, I guess, the best way to describe it.
That's well said. I mean, I was not really sure what to expect going in, but within the first few minutes, it had humor, it had the seriousness of, like, a major bar fight, and I was hooked. It was a Western taking place. Yes. I mean, it was what I pictured when you talk about, like, my dad commented to me, I don't remember when this was. I think it was earlier this year. He was like, I was watching a YouTube video, and they were rating the top Westerns of all time. And guess what number one was? And I was like, what? Star Wars.
Huh.
I was like, really? That's interesting. And I said, I'm aware that George Lucas kind of called it a space Western opera.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of how he designated it as a genre. I said, and it does kind of have a lot of Western elements to it. And it, you know, appeals to that, but I wouldn't have considered it a classic Western.
Yeah, not in a classical sense.
But I mean, but The Mandalorian could.
Oh my gosh!
I can see Clint Eastwood could walk into an episode and it would be like, okay, yeah, that's perfectly normal.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, oh my gosh, you could replace The Mandalorian with Clint Eastwood and it would still be a Clint Eastwood Western movie.
Yes. I mean, we're talking spaghetti. I mean, I'm waiting for John Wayne to pop up, you know, come back from the dead and be a ghost.
And the characters in it, like, there are so many Easter eggs in each episode that I'm, like, sitting there like, oh my gosh, that's so-and-so from such-and-such. And my wife and Lori's like, how do you know this? And I'm like, because he was in this story and he did this, but he's just a background character in this story. And
I know listeners, if you have not gotten Disney Plus, I understand completely, but there's a 7-day free trial. What you want to do is wait until, let's see, I think it's December 18th or 19th when all the chapters have been released. And then literally just binge watch it for the 7-day free trial.
It's worth it.
It's totally worth it. And if that's not your thing and you want to go ahead and buy Disney Plus, do it.
Because, I mean, with Disney Plus, you're getting, like, Star Wars-wise, I was just going through looking. They have all of the Lego Star Wars, like, shorts and specials.
Everything Lego Star Wars. Christopher Carlson, yes. This is your heyday, man.
Yes, I saw that and I'm like, oh my gosh, they have, like, every Lego Star Wars production in existence on here.
All of them. It's amazing.
They have the Clone Wars and they have Rebels.
Yep. They have all four seasons of Rebels. They have all six of the... Do they have the Netflix Clone Wars? I didn't see.
I don't know if they have the Netflix one. I didn't look, but I saw where they had the Clone Wars series. So.
Yeah, I haven't looked. I know they have the movie and the series. I'm kind of curious if they have season six, because they would have to have bought that from Netflix.
You could get your fill of Dave Filoni, definitely.
Oh, yeah. And Dave Filoni did the first episode of The Mandalorian.
And it's really... And it does a lot to establish a lot of things about the Mandalorians that you didn't really know. Like, well, what's their armor made out of? Well, you find out in the first episode because I don't want to give too much away, though. A very important client to the Mandalorian offers to pay him in crates of Mandalorian Beskar.
Yes. And what's even more amazing is it kind of sets the stage for almost like a fantasy.
Yes.
Because, I mean, that's what pops in my mind when I saw one of the few characters that the Mandalorian actually paid.
Yeah.
I was just like, huh. Again, I don't want to give anything away, but it was fantastic and amazing to kind of see. I'm trying not to say too much, but by the time I edit this...
It brought in a lot of the legends... mythology about the Mandalorians and made it canon. First episode did, if you think about it.
Yes, and the Bounty Hunter Guild. Because it's been kind of off and on in discussion about whether or not the Bounty Hunter Guild was going to be brought into the new canon. And this solidifies it. It sets the stage for the whole Bounty Hunters Guild element. It presets the stage for, you know, the whole bounty hunting droids.
And there's like an awesome Bounty Hunter... There's an awesome bounty hunter droid in this episode.
Yeah, in the first chapter, that was fantastic. And that was funny. It was really funny to kind of see how they interacted.
And you wouldn't think that like a droid would introduce humor into the story, but the whole time that him and the Mandalorian are working together, like the one line that he keeps repeating is hilarious.
Yes, it is. No, don't do it.
Well, we're surrounded. And then he says his line, he's like, oh, not yet, not yet.
Just wait. Should have just let him do it. At least then he wouldn't have had to... Well, never mind.
Yeah.
And so many good things. Yes, I know.
The story of the first chapter.
All right, now, I don't want to know, I don't want you to spoil it, but does that come back up in the second chapter?
Yes.
Okay.
And...
Is it resolved?
It's not resolved. It kind of freaks the Mandalorian out a little bit.
Okay. Because...
You find... He does meet back up with the Ugnaught that helps him.
Okay. That's cool. I have spoken.
I have spoken, yes. He plays a big part in this. Especially, especially with some negotiations that go on with some other characters on the planet.
Gotcha. All right. Well, like I said, I don't want to know everything because I haven't seen chapter 2
yet. Yeah, I don't want to give it away because... It's really good.
Yeah. Guys, if you're paying attention to social media, you've seen lots of pictures from stuff going on in The Mandalorian, but I'm telling you, you've just got to get out and go watch it. It's a great show.
And there's one thing, and I wanted to ask your opinion on this.
Sure.
What did you think about seeing the Empire as the underdog? You know, because of the time period, you know, you see the Stormtroopers, and their armor's just all beat up, and it's not that pristine white. It's just beat up and dirty, and they're kind of, you know,
they're almost
very desperate acting. Yeah.
There's our timer.
There's our timer.
You know, it was kind of strange.
You don't ever see the Empire like that, ever.
You get the old Galactic Empire vibe from this show. It's there. You know, this feels like walking into Mos Eisley Cantina, not Maz's Cantina.
Yeah.
There's a much grittier element to this, which fits, you know, A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi a little bit more than it does Last Jedi and The Force Awakens. At least in my opinion. So that part of it certainly sets the stage where you're looking to see the Empire be the Empire. And you've read about how, you know, the universe is different after the Empire has collapsed. But this is the first time we've actually seen it.
Yeah. You know, the Stormtroopers, you know, you're like, again, you're used to seeing them in the pristine, you know, well-maintained you know, stormtrooper armor, and in this, like, they're just raggedy and beat up looking. Like, they almost look like the Rebel Alliance. They're so beat up looking.
Yeah, you're right. You're definitely right. Now, what's definitely also interesting is that everything that's going on is obviously still illegal.
Yeah.
Regardless of who's in charge, bounty hunting by its own profession is kind of skirting the law a little bit here. It's not official police or anything like that. So
right,
it's definitely setting the stage for in this transition between Galactic Empire and New Republic that we know eventually develops, because otherwise it wouldn't have time to collapse for the Resistance to need to be in existence. Gray area exists and thrives. Yeah.
Did you see, and I don't know if you saw this online, but in the first episode, people were claiming that they saw Boba Fett in the background?
No.
Of one of the scenes?
I did not. Did you?
I went back and watched it.
Mm-hmm.
There are other Mandalorians in the, I've been calling it just their enclave, I guess, the Mandalorian enclave. But, like, his armor color scheme was the same as Boba Fett's. It was teal and yellow.
Okay.
And the Mandalorian walks in and he's talking to somebody, and just in the background you can barely see him in focus. He looks up and kind of looks at the Mandalorian like he's listening in on him. And people were saying, what happens if Boba Fett is shown to be alive in this series and him and Boba Fett go after the same bounty, what would happen then?
I'd be all right with that.
I would be okay with that. That would be one of those where I'm like,
I still want Boba Fett to live.
I do too.
I do not think that the Mandalorian is Boba Fett, and I'm pretty sure that gets, you know, settled in the first few episodes of the series, officially, though of course people are speculating it left and right every which way. But I want to see Boba Fett revived, just like he was in the old canon.
Yes.
You know, the way he escaped worked. It was really cool. I want to see it happen. I want to see...
I mean, He was practically almost dead when he escaped in the Legends.
Yes, it took the better part of the first book of a trilogy for him to recuperate enough, and he kind of crawls back to the Bounty Hunters Guild and kind of has to work his way back up in the ranks. Like, they've moved on without him in the time frame that it took him to heal.
Well, you know, and if this being 5 years after Return of the Jedi, that would be a good time period for him to try to make a name for himself.
Exactly. It'd be a good time for him to want to step up. And it would be more logical that another Mandalorian would have kind of filled his shoes and become the big name that, you know, Pedro Pascal's Mandalorian is.
Yes.
And then now, you know, Boba Fett suddenly makes a reappearance and it's like, oh, okay, now we're going to have an alpha dog fight. That would be awesome.
I would love to see that
as kind of like them getting ready to fight as they climax the end of the first season. Like, that be, all right, now you got to wait until next year for season two, but...
Here's Obi-Wan to tide you over till then.
Yeah, here's... Or the Cassian Andor series, or Clone Wars season 7, whatever.
Yeah, the sky's the limit for the Star Wars television shows, because I'm telling you, The Mandalorian, if you've not watched it yet, it's really good. And one of the things that I liked, and this is just me kind of going back to my childhood, on the end credits where they're showing everyone who's worked on the show, they have like hand painted like pictures of the scenes from the show, and it's got the score over it of the Mandalorian, and I'm like, that's like the old school like 1950s and 60s cowboy westerns where they would have like paintings of the cast and stuff in the background of the credits. I love that touch.
The art renderings of these, it's fantastic. And the music, the guy that did the music for this show is amazing.
It's like, really good.
I'm loving it. It does not sound like, you know, like John Williams' Star Wars, but I don't want it to.
It's got elements of it, but it's also its own thing, which
it's
is really cool.
Very much its own thing, and it's very fascinating, and it's got its, like, again, I go back to this word grit, but, you know, it has a very true grit kind of feel to it.
It does.
And I love it. I think it's fantastic. Listeners, I highly encourage you to check out The Mandalorian. I think it's a great show. I think it's going to be probably one of the most favored Star Wars things on Disney Plus for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Until, you know, something topples it. I'm sure the Obi-Wan Kenobi spinoff one will be pretty cool, too. especially with all the rumors that are currently flying around. But, you know, they're just rumors, so we'll see. If Liam Neeson makes a reappearance, that'll be pretty awesome, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'd freak out over that.
Yeah, I'd jump. I'd be dancing with joy. So, aside from The Mandalorian, and I'm sure reading Thrawn Alliances like you said you were still doing, and finishing up Thrawn Treason, have you done anything else Star Wars lately?
Not really. I put on a Mandalorian outfit for Halloween and went to the church and talked to kids at Trunk or Treat. Not really talk, but just kind of nodded yes and no and all that fun stuff. And
cool.
That was fun. And then I came back home and we went out into the neighborhood and stuff and changed. But that was probably the only thing I've done Star Wars. I love dressing up as Star Wars characters at Halloween and having kids just freak out.
Yeah. Oh, I love seeing the Star Wars characters dressed up and all that stuff. It's fun to see all the kids.
One of the little kids asked me, he said, do you know the Mandalorian? And I shook my head no. He said, does anybody know him? And I said, no. I said, none of the other Mandalorians know who he is.
It's just a mystery.
He's just a mysterious bounty hunter.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, that's really about it. We got a ton of candy, and we're still eating on it to this day. So
we gave away most of ours. Like, my daughter's daycare was doing, we'll do candy collection and donations for the Christmas parade coming up in the next little while. And I'm like,
hey,
let's just get rid of the Halloween candy that they gave us. Just give it right back to them.
There you go.
So, fewer calories in our house. Yes.
That's right.
But, yeah. But aside from reading Thrawn Treason and watching The Mandalorian, the only other thing I've done is I've still been playing that Galaxy of Heroes RPG game.
I bet you're pretty far into that now.
I mean, I probably spend about 20 to 30 minutes on it a night, on average. I've been trying to log in every day to get some of the daily rewards, and I'm really enjoying it. It's getting a lot more difficult, you know, just like every other game. If you're willing to spend money, mm-hmm. you can get a lot of things quickly, but otherwise, I'm getting to that grind stage where I'm trying to level up characters and build their skill sets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Make them actually usable at these higher level fightings. So it's a lot of, I really need this one piece of equipment. So I've got to go try to get that piece of equipment. Sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't. So I'm at that stage, which is kind of frustrating, but at the same time, I'm aware that that's where I'm supposed to be, and the fact that I'm still invested in it is pretty impressive, because usually games in general, they have to be really well designed for me to be that invested for a long period of time.
Yeah.
But mobile games specifically, mobile games do not usually have a long shelf life on my devices, because it's like, I can find something else to do. But this one has kept me, you know, so props to the developers, and I still encourage it. I have not developed my own guild yet, but I'm thinking about it. I'm still thinking about making a Star Wars Ties guild, so if you level up
you
to
should.
The point where you can be in guilds, let me know, and we'll team up.
I can dig that.
But anyway, that's really about, like I said, Thrawn Treason, editing a podcast, watching The Mandalorian. You know, that's pretty much consumed most of my Star Wars of late, and I'd say that's a pretty good amount. I'm pretty excited about Episode 9. What did you think about the new trailer?
Oh, I enjoyed that. I forgot that it came out, too, during our break.
During our small hiatus.
It definitely got me fired up to want to go see this.
Oh, gosh, kinda, yes, me too.
It kind of got the bad taste of some of the things that Last Jedi left, you know, behind, out of my mouth.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a nice, you know, tidy it up in a neat bow at the end, and I'm hoping and praying that it will make Last Jedi make sense.
Yeah.
To the extent where Last Jedi will stop getting as much flack as it did.
That's a good point.
Because as much as, you know, there are parts of Last Jedi I didn't like too, just like everybody else, or like many people have said, but I still, you know, it's a Star Wars movie, and I'm not going to complain mm-hmm. about the fact that I got a Star Wars movie.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm going to relish in the fact that it definitely made me think. That was probably one of the major elements of The Last Jedi that I liked, was I had walked out going, huh.
Yeah.
I never really thought about that. You know, it left you kind of wanting to dig into some of the mythos of Star Wars a little bit more. So I'm encouraged by that part, and I'm hoping that that's kind of what we see blended into the J.J. Abrams Rise of Skywalker that we're going to be getting here in just about a month.
Yeah.
Oh,
boy,
gosh.
It's hard to believe.
What a year for Star Wars.
Definitely.
Man. This is just exciting. And I've watched the first episode of Star Wars. What is it? Not Resist. Is it Resistance?
The one about the pilots?
Yeah, the Kaz.
Yeah, I think that is Resistance. I've not watched that one yet.
I watched the pilot of season 2 or the first episode of season 2. It's been airing weekly and I just haven't had a chance to sit down and watch it. Again, time not being a focus thing, but what I watched was good. It sets the stage for some interesting separate storyline. It's not going to really tie in a whole lot to The Last Jedi, and I don't think we're going to see anything from this cartoon in The Rise of Skywalker, which I wasn't expecting to, but anyway. Well, I guess my next question is going to be unrelated.
Uh-oh.
But we've hit time already quite a while ago. Well, anyway, the question that I was going to ask is, what kind of blue milk should we part ways with tonight there, Landon?
Since it's Halloween, horror, scary, let's depart with some... I'm trying to think of a good candy corn flavored blue milk. There we go.
There you go. Candy corn flavored blue milk. Nothing but sugar and food coloring.
Ugh. And crayon wax.
Crayon wax. Oh, I love it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging out with us as we went through some great listener feedback with some horror stories that you guys contributed to us. Thank you so much for the listener feedback that we got. We really want more. Please reach out to us in the ways that we have mentioned so that we can incorporate your comments on this podcast live. Well, not necessarily live, but in the audio format, which is what we're shooting to do. And in addition to that, check out The Mandalorian. We had a great time reviewing it, and I'm going to go watch Chapter 2 before I go to bed. I mean,
there you go.
Go watch it. Get Disney Plus. If, you know, Disney's like thrilled that we're promoting Disney Plus on this podcast.
I know, right?
Even though nobody from Disney listens to this podcast. But anyway, check it out because we thoroughly enjoy it, and we really think you would too. And go read Thrawn Alliances and any other Timothy Zahn book about Grand Admiral Thrawn, because I'm telling you, Thrawn is a mastermind character and Timothy Zahn is a mastermind writing him. Period. So, thank you.
True story.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for your continued loyalty to our podcast. I know that we fluctuate quite a bit as far as our release schedule, but we certainly appreciate that you are willing to stick with us and listen when you do. So, without further ado, we hope that you will enjoy your delicious orange, yellow, white, and of course, blue, candy corn flavored blue milk. May the Force be with you. I get the sense that you don't like candy corn.
I'm weird about it. Like, I'll give it a try every Halloween. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna see if my tastes have changed. I'm like, nope, still just like a sugary crayon.
Yeah, that's right. Sugary crayon. That's good. I can eat like a handful of candy corn a year and I'm good.
Yeah, that's me.
It's really just, I mean, it's not that I don't like it. It's just that I'm not a big sweet eater. So the sugar is like, okay, man. What I can't do is like those huge candy pumpkins or whatever that are basically candy corn.
Oh.
But they're shaped like, that's too much. Candy corn is small enough where a couple of them at a time, it's like, oh, this isn't too bad. But you give me something that big, oh, gosh.
It tastes, it's too much sugar. It's just sugar-shaped pumpkin.
Yes. It tastes like... Did you have braces?
Yes.
Okay, it tastes like the wax that the orthodontist used to give you to put on the back of your braces.
I didn't think of that.
But with a whole bunch of sugar wrapped in, that's
yes. That is the most accurate way to describe that I've ever heard.
Oh, I've just ruined it for anybody else. Sorry.
It tastes like sixth grade all over again.
Yeah, it tastes like you just had wax in the back of your mouth after eating a Reese's or something. So chewy.
Imperior. I will tell you, the second season of The Mandalorian has one of the best lines about the Mandalorians I have ever heard.
Okay.
I'll tell you the line. I'll kind of give you some of the context. So before they can meet with someone that the little Ugnaught guy is setting a meeting up with, he's like, "You'll have to leave your blasters and your weapons behind if you want to meet with this guy." And the guy looks at him, he goes, "A Mandalorian. My weapon's my religion."
Oh, that's awesome.
And he's like, "Yeah, I kind of forgot that." He's like, "I'll see if I can negotiate it where you can at least wear the hip blaster."
That's awesome.
Yeah, you're going to like this one. There's some old Star Wars characters that make an appearance in this second one.
I can't wait. As soon as we get done with this, I'm going to go watch it. I shouldn't. I should go to bed. That's what the responsible adult in me would do. But just like every other irresponsible adult currently in the United States, I'm going to go watch Disney Plus.
That's right. Watch the little baby Yoda creature.
The fact that he is there, the fact that that species has somebody other than Yoda and Yaddle.
Yeah.
I want to know. It makes you wonder. Like, what happens? Is it force sensitive? Is it, you know, do we find out the species' name? Does it survive? Does it reproduce? Is it evidence that there are others that are reproducing? I mean, there's so many questions.
Some of those questions will get answered tonight.
Awesome.
But many more will be brought up after the episode.
Of course, because that's how a good television show is, and Westerners is supposed to be. I mean, yeah. Is the bad guy really the bad guy? Is the good guy really the good guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
And the Mandalorian shows that he is just a normal person, that he is not a Jedi, because I will tell you, he gets his head thrashed in by a target.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, he gets his butt kicked up one side and down the other.
Oh, so he actually, you know, he isn't Butch Cassidy or the Sundance Kid.
No, he's very much just, you know, a normal guy without force powers trying to take on people.
Gotcha. I like that. I like that they make him vulnerable physically.
Yeah, because if you know, he's like, "Oh, he's a Mandalorian. He's got all that armor. He'll never die." Then you lose interest and don't want to watch.
Exactly. Yep. That's what I've kind of wondered and thought the whole time. It's like, yeah, all right, you know. But I'm grateful to hear that. Actually,
you find out that the Mandalorian has some excellent repair skills. because he has to have them.
Well, I look forward to it. I can't wait.
Yeah, you need to watch it. I'll give it away if I keep talking about it too much. Yes.
Doot. All right, and I'm trying to find the email from Christopher Carlson. Cool. All right, I've got like 3 emails from Christopher Carlson, so he's going to get quite a few comments here as we go through. Fall theme. Okay, cool. Here we go. All right. Well, Landon, thanks for recording. I know it's been off and on, and I know we've had so much trouble doing this. And I apologize for all the times I've had to cancel.
Well, I'm sorry I've had to cancel. I'm sorry that life is not wanting me to have fun at the moment.
You know what? That's okay. I totally get it, and at least, you know, we're having fun doing this when we can. And that's what matters.
That's right. That's right. Having a good time when we can get together and talk about Star Wars and make fun of the Jedi tax bracket and everything.
Yeah. I didn't bring that up because I knew we would never get to the Mandalorian if we did that.
Oh, Lord, no.
Yeah, because we have a lot of feedback for that, too. That's got to be its own episode or something.
The Mandalorian definitely does not pay taxes.
No, I'd say not. I'd say
he's cash only.
He has established civil disobedience in its truest form.
He's not paying his taxes on his Imperial credits or his Mon Calamari, whatever they were.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's just fantastic. Yeah.
That's anyway. One thing I'm like, I didn't even know the Mon Calamari had a currency. Oh, my gosh.
But they would have had to. I mean,
yeah, they were their own system for a while. Or the Empire tried to take over.
Exactly. So, I mean, obviously, you know, it sets the stage where it's like, oh, yeah, maybe they will discuss taxes in this and we'll get all the answers that we ever wanted to know.
All we want from the Mandalorian is tax bracket information. That's all we want.
That's all we care about. We just want to know whether or not the Jedi paid taxes and how much.
Yes. we ask the hard questions here, folks.
That's it. well, Landon, I'm going to head that way.
Yeah, man, you do that. Let me know what you think of that second episode.
I will certainly let you know. I'll text you.
Yeah, let me know. Even if I'm asleep, just let me know. I'll be like, yep.
Told you.
Told you. You'll love it.
Awesome. All right, man. Yeah. Well, I'll check in with you soon.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Forget all the creatures in there. And hey, Darth Vader in that black and evil mask. Did he scare you as much as he scared me? Star Wars! Those near and far wars! My seventh winner up here! Star Wars! Hey, oh,